ministry is, because I don't get nervous in front of them. So I hope you guys don't mind that I'm just going to picture you all as a bunch of teenagers today. Feel free to act like one, but please know that our teens are extremely attentive. They're extremely well-behaved. They provide a lot of positive feedback when I talk. They nod in agreement. They make eye contact. They take notes. Okay, so no pressure. Now, if you will, as you're able, would you stand with me as we read today's scripture from 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You can be seated. So this morning, we're kicking off our covenant series called Reach. And today's scripture really focuses us in on us, on ourselves, on our personal lives. And so we're going to work through these verses together this morning, starting in verse 1. It says, I'm going to read it again. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So therefore, first, we have to understand what therefore is referring back to. We literally have to ask ourselves the question, what's it there for? Because what Peter is about to say is based on what he just got done saying. So what was that? If we look back at 1 Peter 1:23, it says this. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You have been born again through the word of God. So we'll read it again. So therefore, since you have new life by God's working, therefore, since you have new life because of God and what he has done in your life, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. There's a great threat to our spiritual growth called spiritual fatalism. And it's this belief, this feeling that you are stuck with the way you are. This thinking, sometimes it sounds like something like this. It may sound like, well, this is all I will ever experience of God. Or this level of spiritual intensity that I have, it's all I can have. Or others may have really, really strong desires for God. I'm thinking of Kim Whitty. But I can't have those. Because I'm just not like that. That's not me. Hear me out, church. It doesn't have to be that way. In fact, God commands us to not be spiritual fatalists. Peter says in verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So crave it so that you can grow. And the word crave can also mean to long for or to desire. So this is literally a command that Peter is giving us from God to desire, to crave. And what this means is that if you feel stuck because you don't have the kind of spiritual desires or cravings that you should, Peter is saying, you don't need to be stuck. Get the desires that you don't have. If you don't crave the pure spiritual milk of God, start craving it. Because if God has the ability of healing a lame man, then God has the ability of giving you the craving. And I can promise you one thing, you can't crave something if you've never really tasted it in the first place, right? I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and her name is Addison. You might see her on the screen behind me, maybe. There she is. And there she is as a bumblebee on Halloween with my beautiful wife, Jennifer, and myself. And as cute as Addison may be, like a bumblebee, she has a little sting to her, okay? She's extremely sassy. She's bossy. And like most 2-year-olds, she thinks she knows everything. She's like a 15-year-old stuck in a 2-year-old's body. So when we put new food in front of her, she immediately says, I don't like that. You've probably heard that before, right? And then, of course, we have to tell her that she's never had it, and you can't not like something if you've never tried it before. And so we tell her that she has to try it before she decides whether or not she likes it. But sometimes that's how we are with God. You see, we don't crave the pure spiritual milk of God because we've never really gotten a taste of it. And so it's hard to crave something if you've never actually tasted it. But maybe you have tasted it and you still don't like it. And that's okay too, because sometimes the spiritual milk of God, God's word, it's an acquired taste. You see, when I was a boy, it felt like we had roast for lunch after church every Sunday. And I'm sure it wasn't every Sunday, but it really felt like it to me because I didn't like roast. But I can tell you what I did like is I like to eat, and I didn't like to be hungry, and so I ate roast every Sunday. Until one day, I realized that I had begun to like roast, even to the point that I sometimes crave roast. It was an acquired taste. I'm sure everybody in this room can think of a food that they didn't used to like, but now they crave it because they acquired the taste by eating or drinking it, even when they didn't like it at first. Okay, like coffee. Okay, I haven't acquired the taste of coffee because it's gross and it's bitter, and the only way that I can really stand it is if you put a whole bunch of sugary stuff in it and make it coffee-flavored ice cream. That's the only way I can really drink it. And it's got to be cold, not hot. But some of you guys have definitely acquired the taste of coffee, and now that you crave coffee so much that you can't even start your day without it, right? That's what Peter is telling us to do. He says, crave the pure spiritual milk of God to the point that you can't start your day without it. Crave it. Desire it. He says, if you don't have the longing, get the longing. If you don't desire God's word, start desiring it. Sometimes you got to force yourself until you get to the point where you crave it. We can't just say, well, I'm just this way. This is who I am. Don't settle. It's not God's will for you. God's will is for you to crave his pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. How are you personally growing in your spiritual life? Where do you see personal transformation? I mean, we see it going on at Central. We see it in our student ministry. We see it in our leaders. We see it, I know a lot of other ministries see it as well, but where do you see it personally? Because here's what I can tell you, Central has incredible opportunities for discipleship. We've got Bible studies, I feel like, every day of the week. We've got Sunday school. We've got our Awaken service on Tuesday nights. We offer something from all ages, from an incredible children's ministry to teenagers, to young adults, to middle-aged adults, to senior adults. We have something for you. But my question is, are you taking advantages of those opportunities to acquire a craving for God? Because here's the deal, your spiritual growth is important. And it's important not only for your own personal spiritual growth, but it's also important to this church and to God's kingdom. Because if we go on, starting in verse 4, we see what God starts talking about, living stones. Verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, if you don't know, that's Jesus. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, into a spiritual temple. There's going to be a picture behind me, and I'm going to ask you, what do you see when you look at this zoomed in picture? Nothing. I mean, it's a pile of blocks is what I see, which amount to nothing, right? They're serving no purpose. They're serving no function. They're just there, piled up. But when we zoom out, we can see what those blocks are going to become. You see the same blocks? But then you see the rest of it? Anybody know what that building is? It's this one. It's the CAC. And here's an even more completed picture of the block work. Go ahead, look around you. Look to your left, your right. If you're not blinded by the lights, if you can see in the dark, you see every individual block. You can see them, right? And by themselves, like when they're in a pile on a pallet, they're not doing much. They can't do much. But when you bring them together, wow, look. It's incredible, right? We're the same way. Verse 5 tells us, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. I can tell you that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And the cornerstone is the first stone to be laid because it determines the position of the entire structure. It lays the foundation for everything that's going to be built upon it. And so it is the most important stone, but every stone added to the structure is also important. The foundation of this building is the most important part of this building, but every stone that goes up is also important. We as living stones are being built into Christ's spiritual temple. Look around at the walls again. Look at the individual blocks. Every block that you see and every block that you don't see is important to the strength and integrity of this building. If the blocks in this building start deteriorating or are removed, then the entire structural integrity of this building will be weakened. And in the same way, every person in this room, every member of this church, is important to the strength and integrity of Christ's church. And if the living stones that make up Christ's temple start deteriorating or are removed, then Christ's church is weakened. By yourself, you may not seem like much, but as a member of Christ's church, you are important. You serve a purpose. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Once you were an individual stone, but now you are part of the church. And as the church, we have a great responsibility, but that responsibility starts with evaluating our own lives, our own discipleship, our own desire for God. You see, if we hope for this church to impact our community for Christ, we must first reach in to ourselves to make sure that we are craving that pure spiritual milk. That pure spiritual milk that we can only desire when we have truly tasted that the Lord is good. You see, the growth of God's kingdom must start within us. Since I've gotten here, I've been here almost 2 years, and since I've gotten here, our staff has been praying for a revival. For a revival here at Central, for a revival here in Fayetteville, and across the world. But what we realized as we were praying is that we first have to start by praying for God to start a revival in us, in my heart. You see, if we are praying for revival, if you are praying for revival with us, then if we are praying for revival here at Central, here in Northwest Arkansas, we must first pray for revival to begin in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that taste of your goodness that we get that creates this craving for your pure spiritual milk. Father, we pray that we realize that we need to begin to look for that craving. Sometimes we need to force ourselves to taste of it until we get the craving. But Father, we play a role in your church. We are an important part of your church. But to be able to play that role, we first have to crave you. Father, we pray for revival. We pray for revival in Northwest Arkansas. We pray for revival here at Central. But most importantly, we pray for revival to begin in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to come before the Lord's table this morning, we do so remembering that cornerstone. That Christ has come, that what Christ has done for us. And so we come with a sense of humility and of gratefulness, thankful that Christ has come for us. We remember what God has done for us, and we remember who God is. And on this All Saints Sunday, we also remember those who have gone before us, that God is the God of those who have gone before us, that God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Ruth and David, the God of Mary and Joseph, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And as we come, we remember that on the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to God, and then he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then at the end of the meal, he took the remaining cup and he gave thanks to the Father and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood of a new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on those of us gathered here this morning and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And Lord, as we gather, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus, the cornerstone. We come remembering him and we are so grateful. We're also grateful, Lord, for those who have gone before us. How blessed our lives are because of them, how inspired our faith is because of them. And so renew our communion with all your saints, and especially with those whom we name before you now. We remember Dr. Connell J. Brown. Mrs. Vicki Lynn Burnett. Ms. Deborah Jane Debbie Burson. Mrs. Genevieve Dean Carnes. Mrs. Margie D. Churchill. Mrs. Betty Jean Cox. Mrs. Annette B. Evans. Mr. Gerald Harid Garrison. Mr. David B. Horn. Mr. Isaac J. Jerry Huey.